And we're holding on Kof Zayin Omud Beis, the third line from the bottom. We've been discussing all this time about the din of Toyin Tainas Ganav, where Shomer claims that the object that he was supposed to be watching was stolen from him. And it turns out now we had so far various cases. We had cases where he's chayev to pay kefil for that, because we're saying that we have cases where he's chayev to pay kefil because it turns out that he himself was the ganav. Then we had cases where he claimed that there was a gneva. He swore to that effect, and then it turns out that he himself had kept it. Then in that case, he's paying kefil. Now we have also been having the cases where he's chayev keren b'choymish v'osham, where he swears falsely about something else. He swears falsely about anything else involving the claim, where then he's paying extra, but not a full 100% extra, as would be the case with kefil, but rather 25% extra as choymish, plus he's bringing a korban osham. So now let's talk about how those two things play with one another. Do we say that it's the money that makes him chayev kefil, the fact that he's chayev kefil for particular money, that's what patters him from the chomesh? Now we're going to have, Rashi points out, that we've learned earlier in the Masechta, when we were dealing in the seventh perek with all the dinim of kefil and tashlumei abav chamisha and all that, we learned over there that you never have both of them. You never have both kefil and chomesh. And we also had earlier in our parak, we also had that if the person admitted, in order for him to pay chomesh, there also has to be that he admitted that he had done wrong, that he had sworn falsely. And if after the edim came, is when he was moida, then he's still paying kefil because of the edim, and he's bringing the osham as well. So what is it that patters him from the chomesh? Rami Bachama wants to know. Is it fundamentally the fact that he owes money, that he owes kefil, that patters him from chomesh? Or maybe the trigger really is the shvua that makes him chayav kefil. That same shvua would patter him from the chomesh. And the Gemara says, what is the case? Hechi dami, what is the case that Rami Bachama is asking about? So the case would be, first he claimed that the thing was stolen, the nishba, and he swore about that. Because of a tontinus ovad v'nishba, then he changed his mind and said actually it wasn't stolen, but it was lost. It was lost. And Tosfos points out that we're talking about, he's saying it was lost even before the time that I claim that it was stolen. So in other words, Tosfos points out, first of all, it has to be that the scenario is that first he claimed that it was stolen, and only then later on are we talking about a Tainas Ovad, because otherwise, we learned in the Gemara before, that said once he already swore, then Yotze Yedei Bailim, he was already Yotze, his obligation to the owner by swearing, but the first Shavua, so therefore there wouldn't be a second Shavua in the first place. So what it means is, in other words, he's saying that when I swore that it was Nignav, it actually wasn't Nignav. I was making a mistake. It was actually Ovad. I should have sworn that it was Ovad, and instead I swore that it was Nignav. So now the question is, so now that Vinishba, and again, he swears on that second claim as well, Ovo Edim Akamaisa Vahoda Basraisa. Now, Edim came and refuted the first claim that he made. So when he claimed to begin with and swore that it was stolen, now after the whole thing is over, then Edim came and said, actually, it never was stolen in the first place. And now he himself admits, and you know what? The truth is, it wasn't lost either. When I said that it was lost originally, and I should have sworn that it was lost rather than it was stolen, he's saying that itself also, that was that I was lying when I said that. Now Tosfos points out that the fact is, when Edom come and say, what do you mean? When Edom come and say that, when they refute the first one that it was stolen, means they say it's in his reshus. So automatically, aren't they also contradicting the second claim that he's saying that it was Ovad? So why are we even talking about the whole chumash is only when he admits on his own? And so Tosfos says that no, what we Tosfos says that we're talking about that actually no, if he claims, unlike Tainas Ganev, if he claims Tainas Ovad, yes, if he's Moida, even after Edom came, he's still going to pay the Choymish. The whole, this that we're saying that he doesn't pay, that he pays Kefal after, that he pays Kefal if it's after the Edom come, that would only be by Tainas Ganev, but Tosfos learns not necessarily by Tainas Ovad. So when he admits, so even though there were Edom before that, he's still going to be chayav b'chodesh. So now again, you have this situation over here that first he claimed the Tainas Ganav, then he claimed Tainas Ovad, and then the Edom refuted him on the Tainas Ganav, which makes him chayav for kefal, and he was moida on the Tainas Ovad that he lied, and therefore that he should have to pay a chodesh. And the fact is, we said before, you never do both. You don't do both kefal and chodesh. So which one is it that's patering him from chodesh? So Rami Bachoma's question is, so how do we look at it? Momen ham chayav de kefal poter ma chomesh. Do we say the fact that he's having to pay? So the question really would be: would he be chayav chomesh for that second shavua or not? Would we say momen ham chayav de kefal poter ma chomesh? The fact that he has to pay kefal, that itself patters him from chomesh, and in that case, he would be potter in this case because it's the same money after all, therefore, and he can't be paying kefal and chomesh for the same money. Or maybe you look at it that it's the shvua that's mechayev him in one, patters him from the other. And here it's two different shvuas. Here, after all, you have two different shvuas, one that it was stolen and one that it was lost. And the second one is not mechayev him kefal because if a person claimed, when he claims Tainas Ovad, there's no kefal involved. Kefal is only when he claims Tainas Ganev. So maybe to chayv chumsha, maybe in that case he would be chayv chumish. So maybe in that case he would have to be paying a kefal plus a kefal for the first one and a chumish for the second one. Or maybe not, since it's all one object that he made the two claims about. So that's Rami Bachoma's question. Omar Rava Toshma. So Rava says, come, we'll bring a proof from a braisa. Suppose that a person says to somebody from the street. So we're not told. So before we've learned cases where he says to a shomer, or he says to somebody who found his aveda or whatever. Here we're talking about he goes over to essentially a random person and he says, "Heichan shodi shaganavda, where is my ox that you stole?" Ruhu I'm a loy ganavdi, and he says, "I didn't steal it." So the one, the Teveya says, Mashbiachani, I'm gonna make you take a shavua for that. But Oma Omen, and the other guy answers Omen, which thereby makes him chay, which now makes him as if he took the shavua himself. But Edom Meidim Oisa Shagonvoy. Meanwhile, Edom in fact come and say that he did steal it. So it wasn't Stam a random guy. He had good reason to go over to him in the street in the first place. Anyway, Meshalom Tashlom Kefal. Then he pays Kefal because after all he's a Ganu. And if on the other hand, now that part actually Rashi points out that it doesn't really matter whether he swore or not. Either way, Edom come that somebody stole, he's chayav kefal. We're bringing the case that he swore because it's going to be relevant to the next part of the case. Namely, that if he was moda on his own without Edom, meshalom keren v'chomesh v'asham, then he pays the keren plus the chomesh and brings a korban asham. So Rava says, let's consider the Edom who the kefela. The Edom are the ones who are mechayiv in the kefil because the shvua wouldn't make him chayiv the kefil. And still, the Braise is saying hoida me atzmei ein avol acher Edom loy avol hoida acher Edom loy. So still the Braise is saying only when he was moida by himself is there a chomesh. But if he was moida any time after the Edom came, then he's not chayev the chomesh. So this would answer Rami Bachoma's question. If you're going to say that it's only the shvua that's mechayev him in the kefal that patters him from the chomesh, Then in this case, Amai Hoda Acha Edim Loi. Then why, in this case, he swore, and then he admits after the Edim come, why wouldn't he be Chayev Achomish by that possibility? Mechti, let's consider Hoshvua Zu, Hoshvua Loi Kama Chayev Le Kvela. After all, this Shvua is not Chayev, is not making him Chayev the Kefal, because he was Chayev the Kefal either way, because once Edim came and said that he stole, then anyway, he's going to be chayev the kefal,
but not the chumash.
Well, that's the point. But we're saying, in other words, at that point, that shvua is not what's being machayev him. The kefal is coming because of the edim. So therefore, to chayev chumsha. Therefore, that shvua has not yet been used to be machayev him kefal. Therefore, by that possibility, it should pater him from chumash. And make him chayev for chomesh as well as so mechti hoshvula come chayev lekvela to chayev chomesh. It should be chayev in the chomesh because it hasn't yet been used for the kefal. So we would say that he's in that. If you were going to say that, then the braisa should say he's chayev a kefal because of what the edim said, as well as a chomesh because of what he himself said. Because this shvua, again, the whole point is we're saying this shvua was really unnecessary up until this point. Once edim came and said. It turns out retroactively that shvua was false and that it was unnecessary because once Edom came and said that he stole, then you don't take a shvua on that anyhow. So that shvua, it turns out, had no implication as far as being mechayev and kefal. It only had and yet we're saying he doesn't take a chomish for it. Elalav shmamin a mamin hamechayev a kefal patar to ben a chomish. That shows us that the first possibility that Rami Bachoma brought up about mamin versus shvua, it's the mamin that mechayev and kefal but patos him from chomish. So good shmamin, that proves it. So even in a case like this, where the shvua has not done anything at all, has had no bearing at all on the kefal, nevertheless, it patters him from chomish when he was moida afterwards that it was a false shvua. So then applying that to Rami Bachoma's case, then yes, when he claimed Tainas Ganev and then claimed Tainas Ovad, etc., same thing. Even though we're talking about two different shvuas, and unlike here, we're talking about one shvua, but it's still the same thing. The shvua that was mechayev him kefal for Tainas Ganev is not the same one. That's mechayev him, not the same one that would have been mechayev him chomesh, namely Tainas Obad. And yet we say that he's not going to be paying a kefal as well as a chomesh. He's only going to be paying because it's all the same mamon. Therefore, he's going to be paying only kefal, not the chomesh. So good. That proves the whole point. Rashi also adds, by the way, in here before when we were asking about the question whether the shvur that is mechayev and kefal patters him from chomesh. Rashi points out, earlier in the Gemara we have the expression yotze yedei bailam b'shvur rishona, that once he took the first shvur already, he was yotze his obligation to the owner. Rashi points out the difference is that that was talking about when you said we had a case of a shomer where he claimed that it was ovad, or he claimed that there was an onus or whatever, and he swears on it, and we say yotzi de bailam b'chayv rishona. But now we're talking about something else over here. So where you have when Edim came before the case that we had before on Kuf Vav Amud Beis and Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, when we talked about that, this Yotzi de Bayil Meshvur Rishona is where Edim came and said that the Shvur was false. But here we're talking about that he was Moida himself, and the fact is when it comes to a Chomesh and when it comes to an Oshem, it doesn't matter. And they also, we said, in order for him to be Chayev Kefal, it has to be that the Dayonim would be swearing him. When it comes to the Chomesh and when it comes to the Oshem, it doesn't matter whether it was his own Shavuah or whether it was a Shavuah or a Dayonim. So that's why the Gemara didn't bring in the point over here, Rashi says, about Yotzi de Bailam B'Shvur Rishoyna, because not really relevant over here. But we do see from this last Braisa that where you have a Shvur, which it turns out was not necessary because the Edom anyway are testifying that he stole it, then we're saying he's paying only a Keren and not Choymesh. So that shows that in a similar case, you never say there was going to be a Kefal and Choymesh for the same moment. Boy Ravina. Now Ravina has another question, also involving the Chomesh and the Kefal. Boy Ravina, yeah. Chomesh or Kfela betray Gavri, Mai. What would happen if you have the Chomesh and the Kefal involve two different people? Mai, what would be the din then? Is it possible, in other words, that there can be the same gneva where one person is chayev kefil and the other one is chayev chomish? So we just established, based on what Rava is saying, that the same person himself can't be chayev for both kefil and chomish. But is it possible, Ravina is saying, that maybe you can have two different people in the same gneva where one of them is paying one and the other is paying the other? What do we mean by that? Hechidami. A person gave a shur to two people to watch, Victornu by Tainas Ganev, and both of them claimed that it was stolen. Now, one of them, Chad Nishba Vahoida, one of them swore that it was stolen, and later on he was moida that he stole it. So therefore, having been moida, he's Chayv Chaymish. Vachad Nishba Ubo Edim, and the other one swore, and Edim came and said that he's the one who stole it. So now he's chayev kefil. Tosfos points out, by the way, it would have to be that the first one was moida before the edim came about the second one, because otherwise, if one of them is koifer, Tosfos points out, and edim come, and then the other one is moida, then you have then they're both going to be chayev kefil, because the edim are saying about both of them when one of them was moida first. Now, we've learned earlier in the Masechta, Tosfos points out, we had a statement of Rav back in the seventh parak, Moide b'knasva. We had a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel on this, actually. Moide b'knasva, achakach bo edim potter. When a person admits that he's chayev knas, and later on edim came and say that he's chayev in that very same knas, is he chayev or potter? And we had before Rav saying that he's potter, and Shmuel saying that he's chayev. Now usually, by the way, in Machlokas and Dinim Mominus, usually the halacha is like Shmuel, but this is one of those cases where the halacha is like Rav, at least in most cases. So since Moide b'knas v'achakach bo edim potter, then therefore that drives our case over here. One of them was Moide, and therefore when the edim come, then we ignore the fact that they're in effect, when they're testifying, after all, they're saying both of them are lying, but it doesn't matter. One of them is already Moide, and therefore he's potter from the knas of the kefil, but on the other hand, he admitted to his false shvua, and therefore he's chayev chomish. So that's the question. Do we say only by one person is the Torah makbid that you shouldn't make him have to pay a chomesh as well as a kefil? But in this case over here, we're talking about two different people. So therefore, hain neshalim kefila v'hain neshalim chomesha. So there's no problem. One of them can be paying a kefil and the other one can be paying a chomesh. Or maybe the Torah is being makbid on one claim of money, that you shouldn't pay a chomish and a kefil for the same money, and here, after all, it is one thing of money, it is one animal or one object or whatever, so therefore maybe we would say that even so, one of them is paying the kefil, but maybe the other one is not required to pay the chomish in that case. And the Gemara says teku, we can't be sure about that, which the result is, as usual, with a teku and dinim mominus, It would mean that we can't require him to pay. We certainly can't require him to bring a korban osham, because it would be a suffix whether he's chayiv in that osham, and that could be chul and balzara. But as usual, we would say that if the nigzal, if the nignav, whatever, the owner of the animal goes and is toifus that money, then you can't take it away from him the chomesh, because maybe he is. So actually, it's the other way around, really. It's a given the other way around. It's a given that he's going to have to get the chomish.
And not the kefil.
But not necessarily the kefil, again, unless the Bala Pikodin is able to grab the kefil, then he can keep it. And we'd see in Miyadi, because again, we'd have to show that the halacha is that he doesn't get the kefil, and we can't show it in that case. And as far as the Rambam doesn't mention the point of the Osham, but seems obvious that he can't bring the Osham because it might be Chul and Bazar.
What if you have 10, if you have 10 Shomrim and you have Edim, all 10 of them have to be kefil?
If all of them were involved in the Gneva, then and all of them are swearing to it, then Bepashtos, yeah.
Because the owner gets off pretty good deal.
The owner would get a nice bonus from it. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Next. Boira papa, trei chumshi, a trei kfeili b'chad gavramai. What about, is there a case where you could have where the same person, so far we've established that the same person doesn't pay kefil and chomesh. And as far as one person paying chomesh and the other kefil, we left it at teku. What about, here's another one. Tre chumshi, tre kfeli, b'chad gavra mai. What about if you have two chomeshes or two kefils from the same person because of one monetary claim, because of one pikodin or one gneva or whatever, mai, what would be the din? Heichidami, what is the scenario? Shatan Tainus Ovad. So let's start with he claimed that it was lost, which the Nishba, and he swore. And again, so far that would make him potter, because either we're talking about a Shema Chinam and he's potter for Aveda, or we're talking about a Shema Sachar, and when we mean Ovad, the list in Mizuyan, that it was stolen from him by an armed robber or something, which would be an onus. The Nishba, and he swore about that, the Hoida, and later on he admitted that he lied. So far then he would be Chayev and Keren Chomish Vashem. Now, Tosfos actually says the word Vahoida does not belong over here. Because if he's Moida, that he swore, then already it comes out that from then it comes out he's Chayiv and Oinsin from when he swore. And now when he's going to claim again Ovad, as the Gemara is going to continue to say, then you can't say that he was Kofar on anything at all. So therefore, Tosfos takes out the word Hoida over here. In fact, Tosfos also wonders what Rapapa's question is, because we had a Mishnah that we quoted before that says that if it was Mashbiah him multiple times, then he's chayev a chumash for everyone. So why is Rapapa wondering whether it's possible to pay multiple chumshin for one thing? The Or Sameach actually gives an explanation, even with the gear said that we have over here, that he was moida. As soon as it turns out that he swore falsely, then he becomes as Tosfos had said. Now at that point he's chayiv and onsin. Nevertheless, he still has the actual object in his hand, and therefore he can be chayiv and a chomish for that. So we could still keep the girsa hoida. So then v'chaz of atan tainas ovad. Then again he claims the same tainas ovad. The Nishba, and he swears about that, the Hoda, and then he admits that second Shvor was false as well. So he did swear falsely multiple times. Now, so Tosfos had asked the question actually that what do you mean? Then why is Rapapa asking the question? If we have a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos that talks about that case, which we quoted a few days ago in the Gemara, the Rosh explains the difference is they were talking about he wasn't moida between them. So Reuven says, where is my shur? And Shimon says it was lost. Mashbiach ani va'amamen. And then again, later on, Reuven says to him again, Mashbiach ani. And again, he says amen, and so forth. And then this can be either inside or outside based in, because you don't need in based in. And later, Mashbiach ani means I'm making you swear. I'm putting a shvur on you. Yeah. And then at the end, later on, he's moida that he, at the end, he, later on, he was moida that he lied by all those shavuos. So that would be the case where the Mishnah is talking about in shavuos that he's chayiv a separate chomish for each one. Here we're talking about that he's moida in between. Now again, Tosfos, who doesn't have the girsa that he was moida in between, has the question. Then in this case, this is the same as the Mishnah, but the Rosh keeps the girsa hoida like we have it in the Gemara over here, and so he explains that he was moida individually after every shavua. There's also the Teras Chayim makes a point that the difference is also there the Mishnah is talking about the korban, here we're focusing on the chomish. Anyway, so you can have a case again where he made the same claim multiple times, and each time he was moida in between that he lied, and nevertheless he does the same thing again. Inami, or another example, Rapapa's question would be: Gunchaton Tainus Ganav and Nishba. He claimed Tainus Ganav and swore on it. Ubo Adim. Adim came and said that in fact he took it himself. V'chaz of atan tainus ganav v'nishba, and then again he claimed tainus ganav. So he's saying it's true regarding the first time that I swore it was in fact a lie because it was in my rishus, as the edim are saying. But now later on, in fact, it was truly stolen from me. Tosfos points out in that case that once he swore the first time, then already he's already chayiv and onsin, and therefore it comes out that he's not really being koyf for anything the second time, because anyway he's going to be chayiv to pay. And so Tosfos points out that what happens is, listen, The Balapikotan says to him, listen, it's true you lied the first time. Nevertheless, I want you to be a shomer for this again. And so he gives it to him again and tells him, you know what? It's true. You messed up last time. He's claimed Tainus Ganav and he's sworn it. Nevertheless, I'm still willing to trust you, whether because he's naive, whether he wants to truly give him another chance, whatever. It's not really Nageya what his motivation is. And he does that. And now, after that, he says that after that second time that you reappointed me a Shema Chinam, then it was Nignav. So now the fact that he lied the first time was not Machayev him and Onsen the second time, because he explicitly told him you're going to be a Shema Chinam again. So that could be the case. Tosfos explains where he has the opportunity to claim Tainus Ganav and to swear on it twice.
The first time he's not.
So again, the first time already, he was chayiv and oinsin at that point from the first shvura, and therefore, if at that point he would again say Tainus Ganav, nothing would happen because he's already chayiv from the first time. Because Tainus Ganav wouldn't pop to him, the owner would say, tough luck, Tainus. What do you mean, Tainus Ganav? The fact is, you're chayiv in oinsin after the first shvura, and therefore you're chayiv to pay even if it is true that this time it was stolen. What we're talking about, Tosfos says that he actually reappointed him as a shemichinam after all of that.
But how can he take a shvua after he's already proved that he's a
so you could liar, say about say for example so you could say about say for example that he did tshuva in between. You could say that he did tshuva in between So the Tosfos Rid gives a different answer as well, which is we learned earlier in the Gemara we had the opinion of Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, who says that when Toyin Tainus Ganav, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef had said that when he's Shaleach Boyad, that when he misused, when he took the Pekodin and used it for himself, that is when he's Chayav Kefal, and otherwise not. So by the same token, then we're going to say over here that even though he was found a Gazlan the first time, that would he could still conceivably be Chayav and Kefal the second time. So now the Papa asks in these cases, what is the din? Is he chayav another kefal? Mia minin trei gavni mamona kama rachmana. Do we say that the Torah is saying only when there's two types of thing, the chomesh versus kefal, that the Torah is saying dolan ishtalmu ilove chad mamona, you shouldn't have to pay both kefal and chomesh for the one case, for the one thing of money? Well, in that case, hocha chad gavnahu. In this case, though, it's two of the same thing. Two chomeshes or two kefals. Maybe the Torah doesn't mind that he does that. Maybe Rachmana really means that we always translate Rachmana as the Torah, really means Hashem himself. Maybe Hashem, the merciful one, is saying that that you should never have to pay two types of mammon, that you shouldn't have to pay for one mammon, therefore here would be two payments of mammon, two kefals or two chomishes for the same thing. So maybe then in that case, he would in fact be potter for the second kefal in the case of Toyin Tainus Ganav, or for the second chomish in the case of Toyin Tainus Alba. As far as your question that the Tosfos addresses your question as far as isn't he possible for the shvua once he lied on the first one. So actually Tosfos gives a different answer. Not that he did shuva in between, but we're talking about over here that this whole concept of choshed ala shvua, that if a person is suspect of swearing falsely, we don't allow him to swear. That's only dirabban. Daraisa, he would still be kosher. So therefore, so he can still, when he swears that second time, it's still a valid shvua to the extent that he can be chayiv and a kefal for it. If we say that he can be chayiv two kefals for the same moment. So the Gemara answers Toshma. Let's prove the Omar Rava. Rava explains that when the pasuk says Vachamishi Soi Yosef Olav, or really Vachamishi Sov, it says in the pasuk, it says that he adds his fifths to it. That means that Torah ribs a Chamishis Haver the Keren Achas. That means the Torah is adding that yes, you can have multiple Chamishios for one Keren. That yes, the same way as we had before. For example, the quotation from the Mishnah in Shavuos that we learned a few days ago. That says that he can be nishba over and over on the same thing, and eventually he's chayav multiple chomishes for one thing. And he again, even we're talking about he was moida between one and the other, or even we're talking about that there were edim between one and the other. In the case of gneva, nevertheless, he's going to be chayav. Yes, he can be chayav multiple chomishes for one keren. So say for example, the original keren was a. So the original Keren was 100, let's say, and each time he swore that it was Ovad, and each time, and then eventually, or between one and the other, whatever, he's moida that it was a lie, then he's going to be paying 100 plus each time for each shvur, another 25, another chomish. And so, therefore, we see the Torah doesn't mind him paying the multiple chomishes for one keren. And by the same token, now, so you have the Rashba points out that that actually there still may be a suffix as far as two kefils. We see clearly from that he's paying two multiple chomishes for one keren. Would the same din apply to multiple kefils, namely the case that Rapapa asked about as far as Gneva? Maybe not necessarily. But or the other way of looking at it is once we enter as far as chomishes, then yes, the same thing would apply as far as kefils as well. The Rambam and the Rashba say that, the Rashba points out rather that you do have. He brings from Rabbeinu Hananel that it's still a question as far as, and then from the Ravid that it's still a question as far as the kefil. But we've proved at least chomish, there can be multiple chomishes for one keren. Okay. Now comes a case which is really more relevant to Bava Metzia. In Perek HaMafkid, in Bava Metzia, we learn about the case where a person is mafkid, a mafkid etz chaver behema kelim. The Gemara is going to quote the Mishnah soon. And the shomer claims that it was lost. And now, as a shomer chin, not lost, that it was stolen. As a shomer, well, nigna v'osha avdu is how the Mishnah says it over there, whatever. The shomer, being a shomer chinam, has the option to swear that he's telling the truth, and then he was going to be potter, as usual for a shomer chinam. Instead, he decides to pay. So the Mishnah says over there that now, if we catch the ganav and he pays the kefil, then he's going to be paying that kefil to the shomer. And the Gemara discusses over there on what grounds is the shomer getting that kefil, how exactly was he koina that kefil in the first place, and various other details about that. So now, on the other hand, the Mishnah said over there that if he swore to pater himself, then when the ganav is caught, then he pays the kefil to the owner. So now we're going to have a machlokas that relates to that case. Now, what is it doing over here in Bava Kama rather than in Bava Metzia? So the Shittim Kubetzis brings from Tosfos Shantz that since we've been dealing with all these different cases involving Ganev and Toin Tainus Ganev and Kefil and everything else, so therefore the Gemara sticks this one in here as well, rather than waiting for Bava Metzia. The Tosfos Rid gives a different point. He says, earlier in our sugya, we've been discussing that you have the cases where a Shomer takes a Shavua, and the result of that Shavua is that the result of that shvur is that, in a sense, he's not considered a shomer anymore. Now he becomes a gazlan, and now we said he's chayav ba'onsin. So the same way over here, we can say that his shvur maybe takes away the din of the shomer. The case we're going to be talking about over here in the Gemara is where he swore, but then he went and paid anyway. And Abaye is going to be saying that in that case, he's no longer considered a shomer. He no longer gets the kefil. So the Tosfos Rid points out there is a direct connection then with everything we've been saying in the sugya so far, because we've been talking about where he swore falsely that he becomes now a gazlan and a schayev ba'onsin. Well, Abaye can say by the same token, if he swears truthfully, nevertheless, he's no longer a shomer, and therefore the special din that as a shomer he should be entitled to the kefil may not apply. So that would be another reason why the Gemara brings this point over here in Bava Kama rather than waiting for Bava Metzia. So the case is as follows. Tavu Bailan the Shomer. The owner of the object takes the Shomer to Beis Din and not even takes him to Beis Din yet, whatever. He demands from him, where's my pekodin? The Nishba, and the Shomer says it was stolen and I'm swearing on it, that it was stolen or lost, as the case may be, whatever it is that would path to him with a Shvua. The Shilim, then he said, you know what? It's true that I said that it was lost or stolen, and therefore I'm potter, and I even swore from that. Nevertheless, I'm going to go to Fnim Meshuras Adin, and I'll pay you anyway. For Hukra Ganav, and now we find the Ganav. Kefil Lemi, so who does the Kefil go to? Now, if he hadn't sworn, if he had just paid, then it's clear from the Mishnah in Bava Metzia and Hamafgid that it goes to the Shomer. If he had sworn and never paid, then it's clear that it goes to the Balabas. But here he did both. He swore, and then he paid. So now, which one is, and now what do we do with the kefil? Abaye omla bala pekodin, rova omla misha pekodin etzlei. Abaye says, in that case, the kefil is going to go to the owner of the object, and rova says it's going to go to the one by whom the pekodin is, or rather who it was, because at this point it's not by him anymore, but whatever, meaning to the shomer. Abaye omla bala pekodin, Abaye says it's going to go to the owner of the pekodin, kiven de atreche b'shvua, because since he was matriachim, in the case of the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, he wasn't matriachim. Shilim v'lo rotzi lishoma. The Mishnah says over there, he paid, he didn't want to swear. So he wasn't matriach, the owner, to take him to Beis Din in order to swear. So therefore, we can say that he's makne him the kefil, as the Gemara discusses over there. But here, given the atrache b'shvua, he was matriach him to make him take a shvua. Loy makne le kefila. Then Abaya figures in that case, then the owner is not willing to give him the kefil anymore. The Gemara discusses over there what's the mechanism by which he's makne him the kefil. Is it that? He says to begin with, when he gives him the animal, if this animal ends up getting stolen from you and you're willing to pay and we find the ganav, then I'm being makne you the animal as of now, or is it I'm being makne to you the animal shortly before it gets stolen? And the Gemara discusses nafkamina is a bit over there. Anyway, the point is Abaya is saying he's not necessarily willing to do that if he was matriach him to go for shvua in the first place, even though afterwards he paid. Rav Amar Misha Pekodin Etzli Kibin De Shilin Machne Le Kfeila, because the fact is in the end he did pay, so therefore he's willing to be machne him the kefil. Now Tosfos points out actually there in Hamafgid you actually have a case where a person was supposed to pay and he didn't want to pay, and Rav Nachman wound up having to confiscate his mansion from him in order to pay for it, and then later on the object was found, etc. And Rava had said over there that so Rava had said that once he was matriachim to Beis Din, then we can't say that he should get the kefil anymore. And here Rava seems to be saying differently. The difference is, in other words, Tosva says there not only was matriachim to Beis Din, but he didn't end up paying until Rav Nachman confiscated his mansion. Here, at least, he was matriachim to Beis Din, and he made him take a shvua. But in the end, he did pay, so it wasn't such a teucha. Therefore, Rava says that's different, and in fact, he could be earning the kefil for that. And the Gemara points out, now, actually, you can say that the two of them, that Abaya and Rava, are actually arguing regarding the diuk of the Mishnah. The Tanan, namely, the Mishnah says there in Rav Metziah, mafkid etz chaver behema or kalim, a person is mafkid by somebody else, an animal or kalim, the nignavoy sha'avdu, and they were stolen or lost, or at least he claims that they were stolen or lost. Shilim v'lodotzili shava, he paid, and he doesn't want to swear, because even though he shavrei omru shemachinam nishba v'yotze, now he could, the Chachamim tell us that he could swear that it was nignav or avad, and he would be yotze, because he's a shemachinam. And then nimtzah ganav. And by the way, the Rashba adds a detail over here. Even if he was pesheya, and then he is actually chayev to pay, but the fact is, you can still say he has a migri because he didn't have to say pashayti. He could have said nignav or avad or whatever. So therefore, and then the Mishnah continues, nimtzah ganav. If then we find the ganav mashalim tashlumi kefil, then that ganav is paying tashlumi kefil tovach hamachar. And if he shechted or stole it mashalim tashlumi abav chamisha, then he's paying the abav chamisha, as we learned extensively earlier in the Masechta. Lemihu mashalim, and who is he paying? Lemihu mashalim, lemisha pikkodin etzli, to the shomer by whom the pikkodin was. But the Mishnah continues, Nishba v'leirotze l'shalim. On the other hand, if he swore but did not want to pay, v'nimtza ganav, and then we find the ganav, m'shalim tashlum kefil, and he's paying tashlum kefil, tova chomacha m'shalim tashlum abav chamisha, and if he shechts it or sells it, he's paying tashlum abav chamisha, l'mihu m'shalim, in that case, who is he paying? L'bala pikadin, to the owner of the pikadin. So you have those two cases.
To the
original owner, because here we're talking about that the shomer was nishba v'leirotze l'shalim, he patted himself with the shvur.
Right.
So now we have those two cases in Mishnah: one where he paid and did not swear, and the other one where he swore but did not pay. Now we have a case in our Gemara over here. We have both: he swore and then he paid. So which one takes precedence? Abaya dayak mireisha, Rava dayak miseifa. Abaya is going to point out the diuk from the Reisha that we have that the Reisha is saying specifically when he paid, does he get the kefil, or specifically when he didn't want to swear, does he get the kefil, but here he swore. So therefore, the Rava Dayak Misefa, and Rava is going to be Medayak from the Sefa and say that the fact is he did pay. Abaya Dayak Mereisha Dishkatani Shilim Loi Rotsa Lishava. Abaya is going to say, look, the Mishnah is saying that he paid, he didn't want to swear, time of the Loi Rotsa Lishava. Why is he getting the kefil? Because he didn't want to swear. Ha nishba. But if he did swear, afapisha shilim, even though later on he paid, lamima shalom bala pikadin. Nevertheless, he's still going to be paying the bala pikadin. So because he was matriachim in a shavua. So therefore, Sabai is saying, that's where I'm getting that he's going to be chayev, that the shomer is not going to be getting the kefil in that case, because after all, you can't say v'lo rotza lishava, because he was nishma. Rava daik misefer, whereas Rava, on the other hand, is going to learn from the sefer, nishma v'lo rotza l'shalem, where it says he swore and he didn't want to pay. Time of the lo rotza l'shalem, why is he not getting the kefil in the sefer? Because he didn't want to pay. Hoshilim, implying that if he paid, afapisha nishba, even though previously he had sworn, lamima shalom, mishap, then the ganav would pay to the shomer who had been watching the thing. So it's a matter of which part of the Mishnah we're medayik from. Okay, well, the question is, labaya kasha sefer. Well, the question is, how exactly is labaya going to understand the sefer? Again, Rava is saying that since it says, nishba v'lo rotza l'shalim, so then the implication would be that once he wanted to pay, then he should get the kefil. And Abaya is saying, nah. How does Abaya understand that diuk of the Mishnah? Omalach Abaya, hochi kodoni. Nishba v'lo rotza l'shalem kodem ha-shvur el al-achar ha-shvur. What the Mishnah would mean, says Abaya, it means the sefer would mean nishba. And when it says v'lo rotza l'shalem, doesn't mean he never wanted to pay. It means he didn't want to pay before the shvur el al-achar ha-shvur. He only decided after the shvur, you know what, I'll go pay. So then, let me mashalom bala pikodin. So then you pay the bala pikodin. So Abaya is saying the sefer, the diuk is not that eventually the diuk is not whether he wanted to pay or not. The diuk is, did he want to pay before the shavur, or is it only after the shavur that he said I'm going to pay? And even in that case, then he's not getting the kefil. On the other hand, and then the rova kasha resha. What about according to rova, the resha is difficult to understand, because according to him, how is it saying Shilim v'lo rotza lishava, implying that once rotza lishava, then already he doesn't get the kefil anymore. Omalach Rava, hachi katani. Rava would say what the Mishnah is, what the Mishnah means. Shilim, in the first part of the Mishnah, he paid v'lo rotza lamoid b'shvurasi. Now, he did previously swear, so he didn't want to stand on his shvur. He didn't want to say, well, I did swear, therefore I'm potter, and that's that. Ela Shilim, but rather he changed his mind and said, you know what, it's true that I swore, but nevertheless, I decided I'm actually going to pay. Still, the Mishnah is saying, then still he, the Shomer, gets the kefil, because after all, he did pay. So both Abaya and Rava have ways of explaining the diuk of the Mishnah in a way that it doesn't contradict them. As usual, when we have machlokas Abaya and Rava, as usual, except for the cases Yao Kagam, then the halacha is like Rava, and that's how it is over here. So regardless, as long as he paid, he's getting that cape. Okay. Now let's talk about some other cases involving the shomer and the owner and the ganav. How about Tavuhu Bailim LaShomer? What if the original owner asks the shomer, give me back the pikkudin, v'nishba, and he swears that it was stolen, at which point he's potter, v'hukar aganav, and then in fact we find the ganav, we catch the ganav, v'tovei shomer v'hoida. Now the shomer says, says to the ganav, I had to pay out because of you, so now you're the ganav, admit that you stole and pay me. And he admitted to that. V'tavuhu bailim v'kofar. Now the original owner comes to that same ganav and says, "I'm told that you stole this animal. Admit it." And he was kofar. V'heviu edim, and the original owner brought edim. The question basically is the shomer considered the owner of this animal or not? Now you have like this. After all this that we've been talking about these last few days involving shavuos and all, is all when the ganav is moida to the is only when the ganav is moida to the balamum. If you have, for example, if I have an item that was stolen and you, who have no business with it, go over on a mashbia the ganav to admit that he stole it, and then and he swears to that, nothing happens in terms of kefil, nothing happens in terms of choymish either, really, because you're not a bal din over here. So the question is, basically, is the owner considered over here a baal din? Or is the shomer considered a baal din? So the question is, min nifter ganav hoidas shomer, does the ganav become potter from kefil because he admitted to the shomer? Is the shomer considered his baal din for that purpose? Oi lo nifter ganav hoidas shomer, or maybe not, because maybe... Maybe not. Maybe the fact is that the Shomer, we can say once the Shomer swore already, then he's not considered the Shomer anymore. At that point, it's called Kolsa Shmira. So his Shmira is over. So therefore, when the Ganav is moited to him, it's the equivalent of being moited to some random person, and therefore that wouldn't patter him from Kefil. So that's the question. Tosfos asks, the Gemara could have asked as far as the Keren itself. And then the reason is the Keren, obviously, because the reason is because the Gemara's answer is not going to really work as far as the Keren. So therefore, the Gemara to begin with presented the question as far as Kefil.
So once the Shomer,
the Shomer again is he swore.
He's now, out of the picture.
That's the question. He's out of the picture. But on the other hand, is he? Can the Shomer still be considered his Baal Din? Because after all, he was watching the animal when it was stolen from him, versus we would say that maybe not. Once he was Nishba already, then he's out of the picture.
Could he do with Baal Din, let's say?
Well, that's the question. In other words, the Nafkamina would be whether the Ganav's Hodah to him is enough to pater him from Kefil. Because we've been saying all along, once the Ganav is Moida, then he's Potter from Kefil. Moida Meknas, even though Achakach Bo Edim, then he's Potter. But in this case, he was Moida to a different person than the one who brought the Edim. So that's the question. Does that pater him from the kefil or not? Omar Rava. So Rava says the answer is going to be like this. It depends whether the Shomer himself, what was the nature of his shvor. Im be'emes nishba, if the Shomer had sworn truthfully that it was in fact, that he claimed that it was stolen from him, and in fact it was, nifter ganav, nifter ganav, adras Shomer, then actually the ganav will be potter when he admits to the Shomer. Because Rashi explains, once we find that the Shomer had sworn truthfully, then Anan Sadi, we can affect the Edim, that if the animal had still been there, the original owner of the animal would have preferred it to stay in his possession. So therefore, that makes the Shomer responsible to go find the animal. So therefore, when he goes and looks for the Ganav and finds him and says, hey, you Ganved this animal, what's the admit it and pay up, and the Ganav admits to him, then he is a valid Baal Din. Because what we're saying is, you don't say, in other words, Rava is saying in that case, well, he swore, and in that case, he's Potter, and that's that, he's no more Baal Din. No, because he swore truthfully that, and we're saying that the owner would have preferred that he actually continues to hold on to it. So therefore, in effect, in that sense, he's still a Shomer. So therefore, Nifter Agana, by Dar Shomer, the result is that now... If the Shomer had sworn truthfully, then yes, he's still considered a Baal Din, and therefore when he confronts the Ganav and the Ganav admits to him, then yes, he will be potter from the Kefil because of that, because it's considered that he was moida to a Baal Din. In Besheker Nishba, on the other hand, if the Shomer had sworn falsely, loy nifter aganav by Dar Shomer, then Rashi gives examples. He claims any of the things that a Shomer chinam would be potter for, mesa, nishba, and nishba, but oynes, and it turns out that not like that. Now it turns out he's a liar. Anan sadi, therefore we can act as edim. We can be sure that the owner would not have wanted him to remain a Shomer on it. Therefore, well, he's not the Baal Din anymore. He's considered, once he swore, he's out of the picture, and therefore, lo nifter ganav by Dar Shomer, lo nifter ganav by Dar Shomer, therefore the ganav is not going to be potter anymore because he admitted to the Shomer, because the Shomer, we would say, is actually out of the picture at this point. So that would be the distinction, whether we see that the Shomer himself swore truthfully or not. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz makes a different point as well. If he swore truthfully, he wants to be able to prove that his shvua was a true one. So therefore, he's going to be going and looking for the Ganav, and therefore he's considered a Baal Din. If he swore falsely, he doesn't want to find the Ganav because then that'll expose his whole lie. So therefore, we can say that. So therefore, he's not considered a Baal Din. Then there's actually a girsa that the Ramah, the Shittim Kubetzis, brings from the Ramah, who actually Rashi himself brings a different girsa. Rashi brings a girsa the other way around. There's a girsa that if he swore truthfully, then the Ganav is not Potter. And the reason is because once he swore truthfully, then already the Shomer is out of the picture. He doesn't have a responsibility to look for the Ganav anymore. If he swore falsely, well, then he was Peshea. Therefore, the Ganav will be Potter by being murdered to him because the Shomer still has the responsibility to pay. Rashi says, though, I don't like that second girsa. because the Gemara is going to continue with a case where Rav is going to ask, what about if he planned to swear falsely, but he didn't, but lohi nichu, they didn't let him swear, what would be the din? Now, if you're going to say that if he actually swore, then already he's not considered the shomer anymore, how much more so when he didn't actually swear yet? So there'd be no room for that second question of the Gemara. Therefore, Rashi says we should stick with the girsa as we have it in front of us, that if he was swearing truthfully, the ganav is potter, and if not, then the ganav is chayav. On the other hand, the Rama defends that other girsa, and he says the vort is that if again, if he swore truthfully, then the shomer is potter from his chiyuv to the owner anymore. He has no business with this pikadon anymore. Therefore, he has no business going and confronting the ganav at all. And therefore, when the ganav is moided to him, then it's not a hoidah. But if he's claiming falsely that he wasn't pasheya, and really he was, he himself is a gazlan. He himself is kona the pikadon and is chayiv and onsin. Therefore, now he's a baal din of the ganav to say, well, you stole my animal, and therefore now the ganav will be potter from kefal if he's moided to him. Okay. So that would deal with the question about what about the next case where he's about to swear falsely and he didn't, because according to the Rama, it's not really relevant. We're talking about that once he swore falsely, he himself becomes a gazlan. So that's the question. So there's the answer to the question. It depends whether he was swearing truthfully, whether the shomer swore truthfully or falsely. Again, according to the girsa we have in front of us, which Rashi prefers, if he swore truthfully, then he is considered the baal din, and the ganav being moided to him is a valid hadar. And if he had sworn falsely, then not. And again, the Rama has the girsa the other way around. Boy, Rava, here's another question. Rava asks, Omab lishova b'sheker v'lohi nichu. What about if the shomer was going to swear falsely, but they didn't let him? So for example, it could be the owner didn't let him swear. And so obviously the owner didn't know at the time whether he's going to be swearing falsely or truthfully. What we're talking about, in other words, let's say the owner. Tosfos, by the way, also deals with the girsa that Rashi rejects. Tosfos point and Tosfos also explains that there's a way of defending it. So the difference is here where he didn't allow him to swear in the first place. He wasn't moichel to him, so therefore the shomer is not potter from that. So here he's saying, in other words, lohi nichu, he can say, for example, you know what, I don't need your shavua. Fine, I'm willing to let you go without taking the shavua. Then afterwards, and then later on he's moida that in fact he himself took it. Mahu, what would be the din? The fact is he didn't swear falsely, so therefore, maybe later on when the ganav admits to him, then the ganav is potter from kefal. Or once he was planning to swear falsely, then already that takes away his nemonus, and now therefore he can't be considered his shliach he can't be considered a baal din anymore to have the ganav admit in front of him. And again, the Rama, following his girsa before, explains that Rava was saying if the shomer swore falsely, then as baal din. And now the question is, what about if he didn't yet swear because lohi nichu, do we say that he's considered a gazlan or not? So the Gemara says teku. So we're not sure about that. Whether again he planned to swear falsely, but he didn't actually yet. Whether he's still considered a baal din, the fact is he didn't swear yet. So when the owner finds out that in fact it wasn't later on, he finds out that it wasn't like he was, and the owner doesn't trust him anymore. So that was one version. Rav Kahana Masni Kochi. That was how Rav Kahana learned Rava's question. Rav Tavyumi Masni. Rav Tavyumi learned Rava's question. He had a different version of Rava's question. Boy Rava Nishba La Sheker Mahu. Rava is asking, what about if he actually swore falsely? Do we say that since he swore falsely, he's going to eventually regret it and pay, and therefore now when he goes and finds the ganav and confronts him, that should be considered a valid tvia, or maybe not, because the fact is he swore falsely. And according to that, then the answer would be teku. So according to Rav Tavyumi's version, there's no question that if he didn't swear yet, he still has his nemonus. And now if the ganav is moided to him, then the ganav is potter from kefal. The question would be, what if the shomer actually did swear falsely, whether at that point, if the ganav is moided to him, he's potter from kefal or not? Okay, here's another case. Tavu bailam l'shomer. What about the owner says to the shomer, give me back my thing. v'shilim, and he paid v'hukar aganav, and later on we found the ganav. Tavuhu bailim v'hoida. Now we have the other way around. The owner is the owner goes and takes the ganav to Beis Din, and he admits that he did steal it. Tovah shomer v'kofar, and then the other way around, the shomer came and took him to Beis Din, and he denied it. V'hevi edim, and the shomer brings edim that in fact he had stolen it. So now the question is, Nifter Ganav Bardas Bailam Eloi. Before we ask the question whether the Ganav can be potter on the grounds of the Hoidah to the Shomer, now we can ask, can he also be potter instead on the grounds of the Hoidah to the owner? Mi Amrinan, Motzi Omale Shomer Labailam, can the Shomer say to the owner, Atum Kivin de Shaklitu Luchodomi Istalkitu Istaliktu Luchumehacha? The Shomer can say to the owner, look, I already paid you, so you're out of the picture already. So therefore, now the kefal of the ganav should belong to me, and the fact that he was moida to you has no bearing on the matter. Or maybe the owner can say to the shomer the other way around. You know what? You did me a favor. You paid, even though you could have gotten away with a shura. So therefore, I figured I'll do you a favor in return. So I'm going to go look and go to the trouble of finding the ganav. So I got mine. I had my tviya against him, so I got mine, namely, you paid me at the time, so now you can take yours, and the purpose is that you can take yours, meaning, in other words, you can be reimbursed for what you paid me. So I will go find the ganav, and that way at least you'll get back what you paid me. You paid me back a keren, so you'll get back that, but not necessarily do you get a kefal because of that. I still have an interest over here, and therefore when he was moida to me, it's a valid hoidah, and therefore there's no kefal for you to be getting. Or maybe we don't say that. Now, a couple of interesting things in this. First of all, the Rama brings a different explanation of the suffix. The owner can say, since I went to the trouble of finding the ganav, then I can say, I never intended to be machni you the kefal in the first place. So fine, I'll give you your keren that you paid me, but I'm going to keep the kefal that I get from this ganav, or maybe not. There is a very interesting point in this connection. This whole point in Hamafgid over there about whether the owner about who gets the kefal, the shomer or the owner, really depends on. Now the Rambam learns that the shomer never owns the actual pikkudin. The extent is it's like deka leperoisev. It's like he's saying that the same way as I can sell you a tree or I can give you a tree where you don't own the actual tree itself, only the peiros of it. The same way here he's saying you don't own the actual animal, only the potential kefal of it. Whereas Tosfos over there learns that it means that he's actually machne him the pikkudin itself. So now, on the face of it over here, then when the owner says shakalna anan didan, I'm taking back mine. So according to the Rambam, it's easy to understand what he means by mine. It is my animal after all. You, the shomer, only ever owned it as far as the kefal. But how would Tosfos explain it? So actually, the Chidushe Anshe Shem points out, on the contrary, our Gemara seems to work out better with Tosfos. According to the Rambam, then why is the Gemara even asking whether the owner is still considered a Baal Din over here? Of course he's the Baal Din, it's still his animal. So therefore, our Gemara, he says, the Chidushe Anshe Shem says, would actually work out better according to Tosfos. In any case, though, the point is that's the question. Now, can the owner say, on the one hand, the shomer can say that I already paid you, owner, so therefore you're out of the picture. The ganav was murdered to you. That has no bearing on him paying me the kefal. On the other hand, the owner can say that I still have an involvement over here because I figured that it's my job to go and find the ganav. So you gave me my payment. I found the ganav. Now you'll be able to collect your keren from him, but you're not collecting kefal from him because he already admitted to me. Or according to the Rama, the vote is that the owner is saying that the keren you'll get, but the kefal you're not going to get because you paid for the keren after all. But the kefal you're not going to get. I'm not mocking you the kefal in that case, since I had to go to the trouble of finding the ganav. And again, the Gemara says teku. We leave that question open as well. So as usual, then it will be then the The Shomer is not getting the kefil, but if it was Tofus, etc. Okay. Another din. It's my Nignava Ba'onis. How about if the animal was stolen Ba'onis? So a list in Mizuyan. V'hukar Ganav, and then we find the Ganav, and we're able to get the Gneva away from him. Before we were talking about that we have to maybe so in other words he's the kind of ganav he's tough enough that for example it was an onus he came with a sword or a gun or whatever but now on the other hand he were able to take him to Beis Din and get back the gneva from him. So Amar Abaye im shomer chinam hu, if the original shomer was a shomer chinam rotza oisa imadin nishba, then he has a choice. He can take the ganav to Beis Din and get back the gneva and return it to the original owner, or he could swear because, after all, it's an onus and he'd be potter in that case. But Abaya says if he's a shema sacher, he has to take the guy to Beis Din. It's true he's potter from onsin, but nevertheless, as a shema sacher, he has a higher degree of responsibility, and therefore he's going to have to actually go to the trouble of taking this ganav to Beis Din and getting it back from him. That's according to Abaya. The Ein Nishba, you can't swear and be potter. Rava Amar Echad Zeh VeEchad Zeh Oisa Imedin VeEin Nishba. Rava says either way, Shem Chinam or Shem Asacher, he's going to have to go to the trouble of taking the guy to Beis Din. The Ein Nishba, you can't swear because now that the ganav has been found, then so Rashi says the vote is he's not losing anything from. So all of the Troyach Achareha. So now, in other words, he won't lose anything if he's going and to the Tircha of it. So therefore, so he has to pay the owner, and then he's going to go take the Ganav to Beis Din and get reimbursed by the Ganav. The Ramah points out also that if he doesn't, then it would be an example of Pesheya. He would be careless because he has the ability to return it, and he's not. So the Gemara asks, Lema Pliga Abdurabhuna Ba'ovin. Do we have to say that that Rava is arguing with Rav Huna Ba'ovin, the Sholach Rav Huna Ba'ovin, because Rav Huna Ba'ovin sent a letter with the following din. Nignava Ba'onis, if the animal was stolen Ba'onis, V'hukar HaGanav, and then we find the Ganav, Im Shomer Chinam Hu Rotza Oseh Im Din Rotza Nishba, if the Shomer was a Shomer Chinam, then he has his choice of taking him to Beis Din or Nishba, and if he's a Shema Sacher, then he does a Din Torah with him and he doesn't swear. So that would be like Abaya. It seems to contradict Rava. The answer is, no, because Rav Huna Ba'ovin's case is talking about where he already swore first before the Ganav was found. Now, at that point, of course, he could swear. He didn't know where the Ganav was yet. So then, yeah, for sure, he swears. So now the question is: if later on we find the ganav, then what happens? In other words, Rava would be saying that if the shomer already swore, then as a shomer chinam, he's potter from taking him to Beis Din, and if he's a shomer sacher, even though he swore, he's still chayev to take the guy to Beis Din. The difference being, in other words, the Ramah makes a point. The Shitim Kobetzis brings from the Ramah makes a point. That the Shomer Chinam, once he swore that he wasn't Pesheya, that's it, his Shmita is over, so now he doesn't have any further obligation. The Shomer Sacher is really just, by swearing, he's showing that it was Ba'onis, so he's not Chayev to pay, but he still has a responsibility to find the Pekadim. So that would be the case that Rava, that would be the case that Rav Huna Ba'ovin is talking about, where he already swore, and now the question is what happens after that. The question is, what do you mean? What do you mean? Rav Huna Ba'ovin used the expression, if he wants, he can bring the guy to a Din Torah. If he wants, he can swear, implying that he hasn't sworn yet. And if we're talking about that, he swore before the Ganav was ever found, then it's not like he has a choice to swear or to bring the guy to Beis Din, because you don't know who he is. So the answer is, Hochi Kama. Rava would say what Rav Huna Ba'ovin means, Rotza Shomer Chinam, if the Shomer Chinam wants, Oymed b'shvuasa, he can still maintain the tour that he has because of his shvuah. He can say, look, I swore before the ganav ever was found, so now I want to maintain my tour because of that, and I shouldn't be obligated to go take the ganav to Beis Din and collect it from him. You, Baldin, you owner of the animal, do that if you want. Rotza oisa imedin, but if he wants, he can say, you know what, it's true, I swore, and technically I should be potter, but instead I'm willing to pay you, the owner, and then I'll go take the ganav to Beis Din. So Rav Huna Ba'ovin can mean that. That doesn't contradict the point. Rava is saying, if he hadn't sworn yet, that we would say, because you haven't sworn yet, you're still the shomer, you still have a responsibility to go get it back from the guy. Okay. And the Gemara says, Rabba Zuti boy lohochen. Rabba Zuti had the following question that relates to all of the previous cases. Nignava ba'ones, if the animal was stolen by an ones, by a list of Missourian, like we said, the hechzer ganav the base shomer, the ganav returned the animal to the house of the shomer, or mesa b'pshia, and then it died as a result of the shomer being careless. Mahu, is the shomer chayim? Mia minan kiven the nignava ba'onas kalyalei shmira. So do we say once it was stolen ba'onas, then at that point the shmira is over? So now when he returns it to his reshus, he's not still considered a shomer on it, and his pshia is not the pshia of a shomer. It's the pshia of a nobody. So therefore he's not chayev. Oy dilma kiven to hodra, or maybe once he returned it. I mean, it came into Hodra the Shemira, say, maybe once he returned it, then he resumes his Shemira from before, and therefore he's Chayiv in Pshia. So the Tosfos HaRosh and the Pnei Yeshua talk about, are we talking about a Shem Chinam, or are we talking about a Shem Sachar, are we talking about a Shem Chinam only? Anyway, so the Gemara says, Teku, also, this is a Sufik, what would happen in that case? Given that, again, there was an interruption in his Shemira, now when the Ganav returns it to him, is it considered that he resumes his Shemira, or is it not? So it's left as a Suffolk if now, after that, he was Pesheya, what happens? Okay. So these are all various dinim that we've been discussing as far as a Shomer, where, again, many of these dinim of a Shomer really belong in Bav Metzia, but because we were dealing with Toyin Tainas Ganav and various permutations of paying kefal, which primarily belongs here in Bava Kama, is why the Gemara was bringing them all here in Bava Kama.